And good morning. Hi, I'm Dr. Morgan. This program is Health Essentials. I think everybody comes to the realization at some point in their life that you've got to have your health if you want to do the very thing you were designed to do. It's as simple as that. Could you imagine what it would be like if no one had to suffer heart disease or diabetes, an autoimmune disease? Probably what's most terrifying would be cancer. Yesterday morning, I was in the checkout line at Walmart. And the checker is, I forget her name. She's real sweet to me, though. She always says hello to me, always smiles. She was checking out my paper towels, or scanning them, rather. And a lady, another Walmart employee, if I was guessing, I'd say she's 70. She had her vest on with her badge, and she walks up behind her, and she wraps around her arms around her in an embrace. And the checkout lady just very calmly turned to find out who was hugging her, and she recognized a woman. Now, both of them were wearing masks, so the woman that gave the hug from behind, I could not exactly make out what she said, but I could see is when they made eye contact with each other, that tears welled up in both of their eyes. And so I knew there was something significant that had happened. And the lady turned and walked off, and she headed out the front door. And I kind of got the sense that everything was not okay. So I asked the woman, I said, what happened right there? And she said, she just said that she got a call that her husband just passed away. It was kind of a tear-jerking moment there. I think I almost started to shed a tear myself. You just can't take for granted how long you're going to be here on this planet. It's really a gift. Every day is. Your health is going to be composed of several factors. I do not understand how we can separate the spiritual person from the mental, the emotional, and the physical. But wrapped up in one, you have some measure of health. We were born to do something. You and I are here to do some work. Two of the most important moments in our lives. Well, one would be the day that you were born. And then the second one would be the day that you actually realize why you were born. And if you don't know why you were born, if you want to live a life of misery, well, then don't try to find out or figure that one out. But if you want to live a life that has meaning and value and a sense of direction, spend as much time as you possibly can answer the question, why am I here? Sometimes we ask the question, what is the meaning of life? Maybe a better question is, what is the meaning of my life? Because there's individual responsibility. If you're not being defined by a vision of the future, then you're going to be left with the old memories from the past. Sometimes those can be quite painful. And you're going to be pretty predictable in your life. And if you wake up this morning and you turn on the radio and you listen to this program, and you're not being defined by a vision of the future, a positive expectation, then you're probably going to see the same people, and you're going to go to the same places, and you're going to do exactly the same thing at the same exact time. It's no longer your personality that is creating your personal reality. It's your environment that's controlling you. You've heard the definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. One thing that health is, and I realize there may be very few people that agree with me on this. Well, it doesn't bother me at all. But you always have a choice. You can actually apply that to every single aspect of your life. There is a choice. You know, your mind talks to your body all the time. That's its job. And your job is to tell your mind what you want. Well, I want perfect health. I want to be radiant. I want to be strong. I want to be able to stand on my own two feet. I don't do illness. I do wellness. You need to start telling your mind that you feel amazing, that you have energy. Sometimes you have to tell your body when you're working out that you love it, that your muscles enjoy this, that you feel stronger and you feel better when you go for a walk. Sure, it could be 28 degrees outside, but the sun is coming up, and it's a brand new day. And good morning to you. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I'm sorry to interrupt your fine introduction there, and your but I wanted to ask you a question, and it has to do with quality of life.
Yes, sir.
And my question is, I really enjoy your program, and it's very meaningful. Each Saturday morning listening to you, I can tell you that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for saying that.
A couple of months ago, you were talking about vitamin D. Mm-hmm. And I was taking at that time 5,000 ICU per day.
Right.
IU per day, international units. And I bumped it up to 10,000 per day, and which I felt comfortable in doing that. And I don't know of any side effects that I may have had, but I suspect there is one, and I'll get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I do exercise, and I do walk about 5 miles per day if I can.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. Way to go.
Tyler. But with the winter months closing in, I still walk, but I don't get the sun, and that's the reason I bumped the vitamin D up. But I mm-hmm. heard a program a couple of days ago on Dr. Oz where vitamin D could be a very negative to you. He didn't say it that way, but could cause frequent urination, could cause calcification of the skin, could cause kidney stones. And that's some of the ones that stuck in my mind. And mm-hmm. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Kidney stones are made of a substance called calcium oxalate by far and away. And so in order to make kidney stones, you've got to have chronic inflammation. Vitamin D probably is not the culprit behind that. The more sugar that a person consumes, it has the highest correlation to kidney stone formation.
Okay.
Not so much vitamin D3, but let me just kind of cut to the chase and tell you this in case I didn't mention the other half of the equation. Vitamin D3 is made in the body just by going out, like you said, and you're walking today in the sunlight. When the ultraviolet radiation, or UVC, touches your skin, it's going to generate a form of vitamin D out of cholesterol. From there, it goes to your liver. Your liver makes an additional chemical reaction to further convert it, but it's still not yet the finished product. From there, it goes on to the kidneys, where the kidneys... That's the end game for manufacturing and making vitamin D3. You've got to have strong, healthy kidneys. And so there's an additional fat-soluble vitamin that I'm certain that you've heard of. It's called minoquinone. Sometimes it's called vitamin K2.
Okay.
Vitamin K2 completely keeps vitamin D in balance. And so one of the reasons why a person should consume fermented foods like kimchi or sauerkraut.
I do.
Exactly. What you're doing is you're trying to encourage good beneficial bacteria to grow in the body, and they in turn can start making vitamin K2 for you. Or if you like cheese, there's a form of cheese called Gouda cheese is probably the biggest honking dose of vitamin K2 that I know of.
Okay.
But it's literally impossible to overdose on vitamin D3 if you have sufficient amounts of vitamin K2.
Okay.
So one of the roles of D3 is to make sure that you can concentrate calcium from the food that you're eating. So if you had a meal of, say, sautéed kale and onions with butter and salmon with lemon juice on top of it, that would be a high calcium meal.
Yeah.
And so vitamin D3, one of its roles is to make sure that you can build up calcium in the blood. But that's not the whole story. You've got to have vitamin K2 to make sure that calcium in the blood actually gets to the locations where it belongs, and that would be the bones and the teeth. Does that make sense?
Right.
And so if somebody had a lack of K2, that would make it easier for structures in the body to form calcifications. For example, you kind of alluded to it earlier, if there's a lack of vitamin K2, it would be so much easier for kidney stones to form.
Okay.
Or if a man didn't have enough K2, there would be excessive calcium buildup in the lining of his arteries. Does that make sense?
Okay. Right. Well, the vitamin D3 I take is with K2 from the manufacturer.
Oh, that's an excellent choice.
And I did purchase prior to getting that particular product. I did have a went out after listening to your program. The K2 supplement, but when I started taking the one that had K2 with it, well, I discontinued that for fear I might take too much of it. Well, that makes me feel much better about that. I thought that maybe I take a blood pressure medication and cholesterol medication. And I, you know, that depletes my vitamin D3, I believe.
And your K2.
Yeah.
And coenzyme Q10.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I take that as well. As a matter of fact, I know I do. So.
Are you prone at all to diabetes?
I've been suspect, I'm not diabetic, but I've been a borderline case for all of my life. And I try to not eat sugar. I watch what I drink, and I quit soft drinks that are.
Mm-hmm.
I was drinking soft drinks with whatever sweetener they had in it besides sugar, and I just discontinued that after listening to you. I haven't had it. I might go out and have one occasionally when I go out to eat, if I go out to eat, which has been very limited here recently, in the last, you know, this year. But I'm off of that. So, but yes, to your question.
What would you say is the one thing that you would really like to accomplish? What would give you great satisfaction if you could either overcome one thing or accomplish one thing?
Just to live a healthy life without any problems, and to be able to get up and exercise and feel great. As a matter of fact, I feel great when I exercise.
That's a very good sign. Do you feel like you have some underlying problem right now?
No, not really. That's what I'm trying to avoid.
So do you feel good on every level?
Well, I get lightheaded, but that's about it.
Is that medication you're taking a diuretic?
Yeah.
Which technically... A diuretic is going to cause very significant loss of electrolytes, almost always. Some of them are really hard on zinc and magnesium. Other ones, boy, will they deplete you of vitamin B1. But vitamin B1...
I've started taking that.
Yeah, that's a very interesting story, because that's one of the main things that regulates your autonomic nervous system and your immune system at the same time.
I'm thinking you probably covered that recently on one of your programs, because
I think I've touched on it a little bit.
I about a 2 or 3 weeks ago, I went out and a friend of mine and I went out and bought, got some B1 and started supplementing with it. So
good call.
Follow your guidelines pretty well.
How old are you, do you mind if I ask?
Pardon?
How old are you, if you mind if I ask?
80.
Oh, a young man. I like it.
One quick question again about what you, program you had. When I'm walking, you asked about a week or two ago how many, asked the person calling in if they had ever held their breath while they were walking.
Yeah, the breath holding test.
And how many steps.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that this past week. How many steps would you consider to be pretty good if you were out on the streets walking?
Well, that's maybe not a fair question, because I can tell you the way I'm thinking of it. Somebody has perfect lung function if they can hold it for 80 steps.
Okay.
But I mean, if you can, but you have to just take it with a grain of salt.
Okay.
If you have good function of your lungs and your ribs, and you can expand your lungs and fill them deeply with air, that's a good thing. I would say that most people, they really don't expand their diaphragm on the level that it should, and they're more prone to lung problems like pneumonia and lung infections.
Right.
But if you're walking 5 miles a day, buddy, that is spectacular.
Well, I split it up into, you know, morning and afternoon. I'll do a couple of miles in the morning and a couple of miles in the afternoon, or 3 miles in the afternoon. I try to get 5 miles in.
Do you work for a living?
No. I'm retired and have been since 2008.
Okay.
And but I have played pickleball and things like that, and pretty active. I've always been pretty active. Depending upon whether I'm going uphill or not, I can take I did up to 100 steps. Of course, I'm 6'3", and my steps are, you know, longer. But I walk pretty fast, or I try to walk fast for me. And so I was just curious if, you know, 50 or 60 or 100, which would be, you know, a target to look at.
You probably don't snore at night, do you?
I've told that I don't.
Okay.
But I
That's
used
good.
To.
Well, you've improved yourself then. You have worked out some of the weaknesses you have in your system. That's great.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know, because I thought I still snored, but I've been told that I do not.
Well, I am so glad that you called today. Thank you so much for your question and comment. I appreciate it.
One other quick question. The virus vaccine, what's your thought on that?
Well, tell me what angle you're coming from so I can be more specific.
As far as, I'll tell you, I took my first shot.
Well, I'll tell you this. You know what I read before I came on the radio?
What?
The latest follow-up studies are showing there's 50 times more side effects of people taking the vaccine than the flu shot. 50 times more side effects.
What?
And even before I came on the radio, they did a little news story about people in the healthcare industry. They're refusing to take it just because of the horrific side effects.
Yeah.
Now, one thing, and I realize this is not going to be real popular, but I'm probably at the point where I really don't care. There's only one way they can grow and make the vaccine. They have to have baby human cells to be the factory to grow it. Okay?
Okay.
So that means a baby has to die in order to make the vaccine.
Hmm.
So everybody has to make up their own mind. I've already made up my mind.
Yeah, okay.
And so they may market it saying it contains no fetal aborted tissue. That's probably true. But in order to make it, they have to have living baby cells they keep alive in the laboratory in order to be a factory to pump the vaccine out.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting. Well, I've taken the first one, so, you know, I guess I'm in for the game on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not sure. Well, I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. I appreciate your phone call very much, and thank you for all your great questions.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Right. Bye now.
Okay, if you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open. The number's 903-586-5257. If I can, let me go backwards just for a second. I realize as this information comes out, you just kind of have to piece it together piece by piece. But, let's go with the phone. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have two big questions, and I appreciate your help with that. The first one is, do you have a protocol for someone that has a PSA at a number 11?
How long has it been at 11?
A couple of months. A couple of months ago was 8.75. A couple of years ago was 7, and then went and they forgot. And
gotcha.
So anyhow, that's my first question. The second one is the painful hands that you spoke of the other day. If you can elaborate, if somebody's is doing a ketogenic diet.
Did the ketogenic diet precede the painful hands?
No.
Were the hands painful before a ketogenic diet was started?
Can't say that for sure because it's been quite a while.
Okay, let me tackle the first one first.
Okay, thank you.
That was redundant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, number one, there's two or three possibilities here. The prostate is a very unique organ/gland in the body. The prostate is designed to contract.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like the heart. It contracts every time it pumps blood, or your urinary bladder, when it's full of urine, it contracts and out comes the urine. Or near your liver, you have a gallbladder. When the gallbladder contracts, it pushes bile from its reservoir into the small intestine, where it stimulates absorption of minerals and nutrients and helps attach itself to toxic waste and initiates bowel movements. But the prostate, to me, is a very, very intriguing gland. When it's well-trained to properly expand and contract, and that's where you come in contact with what are called Kegel exercises for men. I don't know if you've heard that.
Yes.
But that would be one thing that this gentleman would want to take a look at, is attempting, you could just go to YouTube and type in, how do I properly perform Kegel exercises for men, and you would probably come up with several videos. None of the videos are bad. They just show the dynamics of the male anatomy of the prostate, but you've got to get a really good sense for how to contract the prostate and relax it. And the reason I'm saying that, if you can't fully contract the prostate, you know, in the form of this exercise, then you're going to build up all manner of toxic waste and debris.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do not have the study in front of me, and it may be about 3 or 4 months ago since I read it, but they were showing in countries where men could actually feel their prostate contract by doing Kegel exercises, they just about had no prostate cancer on any level at all, and I was really impressed by that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing is, countries like Japan, the island of Okinawa, they literally have the lowest prostate cancer of anywhere in the world. And so I would kind of make note of that. And one of the things that they have in their diet that seems to be in great abundance is an element called iodine. Now, you may not have heard this, but your white blood cells, which is your active, living, breathing immune system, it carries these packets of iodine. So if it comes in contact with a virus or a bacteria or even a cancer cell, then what'll happen is it'll release the iodine to help defeat the infection or the cancer or a virus or a fungus, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so PSA can go up for two or three different reasons. Number one, if the prostate becomes very swollen and toxic and congested, then this marker called prostate-specific antigen will start to come up. I've seen that over and over again. And once you start cleaning a person's diet and you start getting them in better state of repair, like you give them iodine and zinc, you can start to cut them off sugar, what I should say, all of a sudden you'll see the PSA come down back to normal. And I'm going, oh, well, isn't that interesting? But it's been well studied before. I got to be careful how I word this because I got in trouble over this deal. But let me just say, back in 1993, there was a very specific test that I remember a doctor in Jacksonville asking some of his men that came to see him to do. And all he did was he told these male patients that had high PSAs and prostate problems to just capture their prostate fluid in a test tube and send it to the laboratory. And they, in turn, would take the fluid and put it in a nutrient auger petri dish. You know what a nutrient auger petri dish is? It's designed to grow bacteria.
Yeah.
And so what they would do is the lab report came back on 14 separate occasions that these men with high PSAs and swollen prostates, they had a type of bacteria called Klebsiella pneumoniae. I think it's a gram-negative diplococcal bacteria, and it's famous for causing pneumonia in people. But I thought to myself, what is this stuff doing in the prostate? Well, the prostate has a certain amount of sugar, but if the prostate becomes very, very... Can I just have artistic license today?
Go for it.
If the prostate is dirty, then you're going to have an infection in there. And so some urologists are going to prescribe a pretty strong antibiotic called Cipro to see if that can't clear out the prostate that way. Now, personally, I don't like it. That's just my opinion. I guess my opinion, you know, only goes so far. But I can tell you this. If you could make it the rest of your life without taking an antibiotic, man, that would be a worthy goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because study after study is showing now that the more antibiotics that a person has over their lifetime, the higher the lifetime risk of developing cancer is. I ain't making that up. And so every time that you take an antibiotic, not only do you potentially kill the harmful bacteria, which I'm for, but you also kill all the good bacteria that are designed to keep your body in great working order.
Mm-hmm.
So, with a swollen prostate, there was a study done from a province in Canada. I couldn't tell you if it's Saskatchewan or British Columbia or Calgary or Ontario. I don't know. I don't remember. It was years ago. But these men in the study, they had high PSA, and all they did was they committed to walking for 45 minutes a day. And within 3 months, the number was cut in half. To me, that's very impressive. But part of it, man, does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to greatly increase the volume of blood flow and oxygen and nutrients. I always want to remind myself, the blood is a unique organ system. It's very complex, very complicated, very sophisticated. That's probably a better way of saying it. It's a very precise, eloquent, sophisticated organ system that delivers nutrients that will either make or break an organ or a gland. They'll either be healthy and strong, or they'll be starving for nutrition. And so the prostate needs nutrition. And so walking every single day, consistently, like the gentleman that just called that was 80 years of age, that's pretty impressive if you ask me. 5 miles a day. Talk about a committed man. He's awesome. And so if you're committed to walking, you can potentially see that PSA start to go down, but that's called healing and repair. Now, you're not going to have anybody else tell you that. What they're going to tell you is, oh my goodness, we better do a biopsy. Well, you know as well as I do, doing a biopsy, there's always the risk that you can break open the prostate and cause prostate cancer cells just spill out and travel all over the body. I don't like that either.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time and a place for everything. There was another study that came from Canada. I'm almost positive this was from Montreal. Parlez-vous français? No?
Nope.
But, good. You knew what I, but in this study, all they asked men to do was to cut out the sugar and the grains from their diet. And they said, hey, if you want sugar, why don't you eat an apple or have some blueberries? I don't really know. They said apple and blueberries, but they said fruit. So I'm asserting my idea. And so in this study, the PSA levels started to come down. So I think that I think we're on the same page here. If there's a chronic low-grade infection, we've got to do something to help overcome that. Now, personally, without iodine and zinc, it is going to be really challenging for the immune system to actually rise to the occasion and do the very thing it's supposed to do. It just can't do it. And so even this morning, when I was coming to the radio station here in Jacksonville, there were two studies I was listening to on a podcast. And in the podcast, they said specifically in one study, if a man was very low in the mineral magnesium, then he almost always had low levels of testosterone. I thought to myself, oh boy, you're talking about every American now. Mm-hmm. And so when people eat higher carbohydrate diets, they tend to have the lowest level of all the micronutrients or the trace elements they need, such as iodine and zinc, potassium, magnesium, things like that. Those aren't all of them, but, you know, that's the ones that I'm thinking of. Sure. The other study showed that when men were very low in boron, they had very low levels of testosterone. And the reason I'm kind of tying this in is because the way that American men are trained is, hey, if you don't feel good, you better go to a low T clinic and get a big shot of testosterone once a week for the rest of your life or whatever they do, or gels. But in that study, it showed that when you give men testosterone from a shot or a gel, you start screwing up the prostate. They are more prone to prostate cancer. One of the studies I read years ago demonstrated that men are so prone to having heart attacks, or more so prone to having heart attacks, when they take testosterone replacement therapy. Which we always kind of escape the idea that God has designed the body to make these things if you just create the right circumstances. And so anytime that you consume more carbohydrates than what your body can tolerate, I'm talking about sugar and grain, there's going to be a negative effect somewhere in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
You ever heard of garlic? That's a rhetorical question. Garlic is an amazing, amazing substance. I may have mentioned this before, but they found in a burial chamber of one of the pharaohs. Don't ask me which one. I don't know if it's Ramses the First or Tutankhamun. I couldn't remember. But they found this jar. And in this jar, they found cloves of peeled garlic that were covered with honey. Mm. And I thought to myself, oh, this is brilliant. Because some of the latest findings on raw honey are that raw honey contains beneficial, unique species of bacteria that tend to be very, very good for the human beings that consume the honey. And so, like anything else, mm-hmm. a little bit of honey is probably like a tremendous elixir or health remedy to bolster your health. But when you take and you put raw honey on cloves of garlic, it actually, the beneficial microbes will start to ferment the garlic.
Mm-hmm.
So if you did that in a mason jar, you'd have to cover it up with a towel to keep it dark. Or you get those jars they sell at the store where they block out the light. But they make they make these rubber lids that kind of have a nipple that will like bleed off or let them out gas, you know, as the bubbles form from just fermenting the garlic.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought to myself, I mean, man, Roy, this is pure genius. I need to start copying what the pharaohs did. Fermenting garlic for a health remedy.
So how long would you ferment it?
I think some of the things that I've looked at have suggested about 3 to 4 weeks to leave it kind of covered with the raw honey before you start eating the garlic.
Mm-hmm.
But traditionally how this is used is if a person is feeling like they're really run down, exhausted, and they're maybe fixing to come down with something, wouldn't that be a pretty good time to start maybe eating a couple, 3 cloves of the raw garlic?
Sure, I would.
Yeah, I would too. Of course, the problem is, if there's such a thing as a problem, once you start loading up on garlic, you may have a little bit of sulfur on your breath for just a moment. But if you and your husband both consume it, it won't cancel each other out. It won't be a big deal, right?
Yeah.
And so there's 2 or 3 things we got to look at here. if the PSA is continually trending in the wrong direction, if it's gone from a 7 to an 8.75 to an 11 now, then that's not the direction we want to go. Mm-hmm. And so we just need to take a cold, hard look at this. And I know I'm being very blunt and to the point, but there's only one way through this. If this gentleman is not used to moving his body, he has absolutely got to be committed to saying, what the heck am I doing? I have got to get up and I've got to start moving. I know the temptation is always, well, you know, I get up occasionally at work and move this and that. Well, it's just not the same as going for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
45 minutes straight. And so if they could commit to doing that, that would be tremendous. The next thing is, you've got to be willing to start doing what are called Kegel exercises for men. I really think that's very, very legitimate. Because what you're doing is you're helping contract and relax the prostate where it can do a much better job of squeezing out all the dirty, filthy waste that builds up in it. Mm-hmm. It's like anything else. It just becomes constipated. Everybody knows that if you're constipated in your bowels, that is just toxic to your body. You just reabsorb all that waste if it stays in there too long.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody feels good constipated. But the prostate becomes constipated, you've got a problem. The other thing that I read the other day was when a man is low in zinc, his estrogen levels tend to go up. Now, I'm not trying to be crude, but you've heard the term before, man boobs, right?
Yes.
That is not good. That means estrogen's building up.
Mm-hmm.
And testosterone's lower. It's like a seesaw. But the bottom line is, if a person is consuming grains and carbohydrates in the form of sugars, if PSA is elevated, that's going to be, in Spanish, that is no bueno.
Do you know
what that means?
Yes, sir.
I'm just joking. And so the other thing that I really want you to look at, I'm going to go backwards for just a second. If you look at the island of Okinawa, Japan, that is just one large volcanic island. And there's a type of rock called basalt rock. It's full of sulfur. That's the only way sulfur comes to the surface of the earth. But a volcano has to erupt and spew forth this basalt rock. So that's sulfur, sulfur, sulfur. So obviously, high sulfur foods are the gem of the day when it comes to a high PSA. And that's going to be onions and garlic. I think eggs are really good. They're high in sulfur. If you find a grass-fed beef or a grass-fed steak, mm-hmm. I would not be opposed to that. But it's going to be radishes and cauliflower, asparagus, kale, broccoli. Did I mention cabbage yet? But those are all high sulfur foods, and that's what the body needs. Technically, on paper, I don't want to go off on a tangent right now, but I would say this. If you want to destroy the body, sugar is one of the most anti-sulfur nutrients that I know of. If you want to deplete the human prostate of all its sulfur, then eat sugar. But to get sulfur, you got to have two things. You've got to eat foods that are grown in soil that contain sulfur. That's one of the reasons why people take Epsom salt, which is magnesium sulfate, and they might sprinkle it around their tomato plants to make sure they really produce a remarkable high-quality plant full of magnesium. But then you got to have sunshine. This is the time in the human population that everyone is terrified of going outside in the sunshine. Well, if you want to make sulfur, you have got to expose your body on some level to the natural light that God himself has made and designed for us to keep us strong. And plus, this man is like a solar-charged battery. You cannot heal the body without natural light. I think the sun's out right now.
Yeah.
I'm rejoicing.
So you don't recommend that PSA test then?
No, I'm fine with the PSA test.
Mm-hmm.
PSA test is probably good. And actually, just on a real simple level, what if this man that we're talking about with a PSA of 11 says, you know what? I got to get my act together. I'm going to quit drinking Cokes. I'm going to start drinking water. I'll drink herbal tea like dandelion tea or maybe rose hips or hibiscus or green tea. Actually, if I'd been smart, I would have said that a while ago. There are so many studies that show that when men consume green tea, they have lower PSA levels. Meaning there's actually nutrients found in the green tea that are very, very good for a healthy prostate. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, sir.
But this is going to be turned around. But if he goes up, if he comes back in 3 months and says, I've done all these things and checks his PSA again, what would you think if it came back at 4.1 after 3 months of walking and avoiding sugar and starch and grain?
That'd be awesome, huh?
Yeah, that would. Mm-hmm. And eating the fermented garlic, that wouldn't be a bad deal either. Actually, this is a treat right there. He can come in from work and say, sweetheart, I've worked hard today. I think I deserve 3 cloves of garlic. Okay, the painful hands. Did I do enough on the PSA?
That's great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. The painful hands. The hands, they have a really great way of telling you when something's gone awry with the kidneys or the liver. Mm-hmm. My mother was a pretty good student of health. Maybe even some would call her a health nut. I don't remember her apologizing for that. There was a lot of times she wasn't well received, but one of the things that she would tell me is she said, you know, because she was a, did I ever tell you that my mother was a twin?
Yeah.
She was a twin. Well, when she was born, they named her Letty Zoe. That was her name on the birth certificate. And her sister's name was Betty Jo, so they used to have this this saying, Betty Jo and Letty Zoe, wind them up and let them go. But they scratched it out and they wrote Mary Lou. I don't know the story behind that, but they did. And so her twin sister probably consumed a fair amount of alcohol and smoked a whole lot of cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Now, my mother made it to the age of 91. She would still be alive if she had not been run over by the logging truck in Frankston on July the 24th, 2 years ago.
Wow.
She was in good shape. And when they did the autopsy on her, they said they couldn't find really any problems with her at all. She had a strong heart. Her brain was great, which some people in the family might question the brain state. Anyway, but her sister passed away when she was maybe 70 years of age, even though they were, you know, twins, had the same DNA. But my mother sometimes, when we'd go visit, Aunt Betty would offer her a glass of wine, and if she would drink it, she would make the comment that her hand would hurt if she drank the wine. So I'm not telling you I know exactly what the reaction was, but isn't that just brilliant that the human body can communicate to you? Mm-hmm. And tell you when something's going to rise. So if it's your hands that are hurting and you have been doing a ketogenic diet, I still want to look at a couple, three areas here. Number one, you may have a deficiency of micronutrients in the form of trace minerals or minerals, but the one that I'm probably going to look at, I think with a ketogenic diet, two of the main minerals that are going to be exposed if there's a weakness or a deficiency is going to be zinc and magnesium.
I'm taking plenty of those.
Well, in one of the studies that I read, it showed it took about 1,000 milligrams of magnesium to get the job done on a ketogenic diet.
Okay.
So that's just food for thought.
Okay.
The other thing that I want to pose to you is this. Every human being is different. Some people have a much greater need for magnesium than others. Mm-hmm. And I think the term that's used in genetics is called biochemical individuality. And that can vary big time. You may have one person, they require 1 milligram of vitamin B1 to function properly. But the next person, they have to have at least 8 milligrams a day if they're going to be at their very best.
Mm-hmm.
But I've read some nutrients can have as much as a 50-fold difference in need or usage, and I'm just going, that is so incredible. And so the kidneys, one of the greatest purifiers and cleansers of the blood of all time. It's incredible. But that's what I think of is when the hands hurt, I think kidneys. The next thing that I would say, is there one part of the hand that hurts worse than another?
Just the thumb area.
Like, oh, well, that's the pelvis then. If the thumb is what's hurting, then my mind is going to be drawn to somewhere in the pelvic bowl area of a woman. Mm. And so that can be everything from the descending colon, that can be the appendix. And so, for example, if it was just the right thumb, I would say, why don't we look in the right pelvic bowl? And so when the physician examines you, it cannot be that hard to just press over the right ovary or the edge of the uterus, the bladder, and just look for any tenderness. Because this is the way a body that's giving you clues that something's wrong with that portion of the female anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just one hand or both?
Just one.
Which
it's
one?
My right, the right hand.
Oh, I had a, well, I knew there was a 50-50 chance of... I like it when the odds are in my favor that way. But what I would do is I would look at something has gone awry. I don't mean that in a bad way. Or another way of wording this is, you could actually have some weakness in the right lower pelvic bowl area. So do you still have your uterus and your ovaries?
No, sir.
Okay, do you have your appendix?
Yes.
Okay. So I would look at the lower starting point of where your small intestine ends. That's called the ileum. And your large intestine begins. That's called the cecum. So together you have the ileocecal valve in between the two, but that's where I would look with right thumb pain. Can't blame it on the ovary now.
Yeah.
Do you have any dark, coarse hairs that you have to pluck from your body? And if they build up in... Okay. So something is probably irritating the lower digestive tract, and maybe I might work the kidneys in there also. So we're trying to figure this out. Do you have any clues or ideas whatever may be coming from?
Well, my chiropractor in town thought my ileocecal valve was open. And
does that mean you have diarrhea or loose stools?
Well, I take a lot of magnesium for that that caused that. So, yes.
Well, the other idea that I want to kind of float your direction is, if the ileocecal valve is open, one of the most likely scenarios behind that, and this is just one idea, I'm sure they told you other things, but if you have an overgrowth of too many toxic bacteria living in your body, then that would be the way that is. And I hope that what I'm fixing to say is not overly crude. I don't mean it to be. But under normal circumstances, the female reproductive tract is going to have a generous population of good beneficial bacteria or microbes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If that starts to have a foul odor to it, then you know full well that that flora has been altered significantly. And it could be as simple as maybe their partner is just dirty that way. I'm sorry, I know that doesn't sound good. And so if there is an overgrowth of toxic bacteria, you're going to have an open ileocecal valve. It's either that or there's a hidden food allergy or something that you're reacting to.
Okay.
Still, you could probably build a really good case of consuming sauerkraut every day or maybe some raw kimchi.
Sure.
I ate some kimchi this morning. I think two forkfuls. It's not the sort of thing I'm going to eat like an entire bowl full.
Okay, so you think it has to food allergy of some sort? Or...
Well, that would be one thing, but the bottom line is you're just trying to pinpoint where the weakness is in the body, and if your chiropractor found that you have an open ileocecal valve, that is plenty to work with right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't correct that, you get this backwash of toxic bacteria that go up in your small intestine. That's where you absorb your nutrients and your minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're prone to like loose BMs, I realize you're taking magnesium, and that's wisely stated, but there may be something else at place that we need to correct.
Okay.
But the bottom line is we want that right thumb to stop hurting.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, you can always take and rub fresh lemon juice on your right thumb wherever you have the pain.
Yeah,
do it. Does that help?
It does. Yeah, it's hard to do it more than one time a day because of work, and it was like trying to get a. You could get something else I could do or get to the source of the problem. So,
ma'am, that sounds like a pathetic excuse. You're working. Does that mean you don't want to put lemon juice on everything you touch all day long? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, I don't blame you at all. I understand.
So,
well, thank you very much for your phone call.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All righty. If you want to join me on the radio for a question or a comment, this program is Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan, 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, quick question. I'm having some calcium buildup, and I've got a bone spur started, and I was wondering if there was something you could recommend that I do. That's my question.
Sure. Number one, the body by nature is going to calcify anything that stays chronically inflamed. Where is the bone spur forming right now?
Well, it's on the bottom of my foot.
Okay. Then most likely there's inflammation around that Achilles tendon or the plantar fascia, something like that.
Okay.
If you were to, one of the ways that you can approach this, and all you can do is just try it and see, you could actually try rubbing fresh lemon juice on that area where the bone spur is forming and see if that alleviates the pain. If it does, that's a home run. The lemon juice that comes in a plastic bottle that's been pasteurized, it don't work. But the lemon juice that comes from a fresh lemon, that works. And I know you know why. It's because it contains vital living enzymes and a life force to it. Very, very intriguing to me. You could also start taking lemon juice internally. Almost, I should say with 100% accuracy here, every problem in a human body is going to be from too much acid. Sugar and grains are the highest acids I know of. That and probably alcoholic beverages. Okay. Do you eat a lot of sugar?
I do. And I'm going to cut back on that. That's a resolution here. I need to get off of it totally.
I'm so proud of you for saying that, man. That's a good call. What if you could get your pleasure from eating garlic cloves that have been fermented in raw honey? Or you could eat an apple.
Well, I heard you talking about that. I think I'll go with the apples.
Well, aren't you going to go to Egypt and visit Tutankhamun's tomb?
Not anytime soon. I hope not.
Okay. Oh, I understand. So if you could just work that plan of yours, oh, mm-hmm. My goodness, what you're doing is you're turning the tide on chronic inflammation and calcification of the body. Anytime that there's chronic inflammation, your body's going to calcify that. It's just a matter of where. If it was in the kidneys, it could be a kidney stone. If it was in the liver and the gallbladder, that could be gallstones. If it was in the heart, that could be calcified coronary arteries, which that is not good. But in the foot, it could be like a heel spur.
I think that's what it is.
One more point. I'm sorry to interrupt you. That's kind of rude of me. Years ago, I was reading this article about heel spur formation in third world countries. They don't have them. And they think some of that's because when they walk barefoot, it actually keeps all the muscles in the joints so limber and supple and pliable and flexible. But here in America, we is soft. We sit on the couch all day long, right?
Yes.
So that's something to think about, walking barefoot to see if that'll alleviate the pain. Plus, it's a brilliant strategy called earthing.
Okay. So I can do this inside the house, or do I have to do this outside?
If you do it outside, it'll hands down work the best.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Why did you say that? I just knew that you liked cold weather.
No, not really. I prefer the summer. Now, on the lemon juice, how much should I do, a whole lemon every day?
Or? I do. I think so. Somewhere between 1 to 2 lemons a day is what I see work.
In an 8-ounce glass of water?
Whatever you want to do. If you tell me that you have a cup of dandelion tea in front of you with a spoonful of honey in it, I wouldn't care if you added lemon to that. Make kind of like a dandelion lemonade.
Well, I heard you talk about that. So I'll get some dandelion because that'll be a good cleanser.
It is. It is. I mean, okay. Dandelion is so good to help activate the liver and the gallbladder to clean out.
Does that help with the kidneys as well?
It does. Yes, sir. It does.
Okay. Well, that's what I will do, and I appreciate you being part of my day.
Oh, you're so welcome. That's so sweet of you to say. Thanks for your phone call, and I wish you the best.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Have a good day, man. Bye-bye. You know, the other day I had to go to a large home improvement store. I don't want to tell you which one. But I started looking at the seeds, and the seeds were just right there by the big bottles of Roundup. And personally, I can smell that stuff. I mean, is it just me? When I go into that large store, and I smell those chemicals from the pesticides and herbicides, I just think that stuff's repulsive. Maybe I'm just more sensitive to it. Of course, another thing is maybe the cleaner your body is, the more sensitive you are to things like that. And the more toxic your body is, you just don't even bat an eye or flinch when you're around. I mean, it can work several ways. But to make a long story short, I thought to myself, man, these organic vegetable seeds, what if some of that Roundup is floating on the particles in the air and kind of soaking through the paper, you know, for the seed package? Well, that doesn't sound like a good plan. Anyway, I actually am probably a different sort of person because I just ordered a small package of pink dandelion seeds. I was so intrigued by them. I think originally they come from Croatia, but they're supposed to be known for just deep, deep, strong, strong, healthy roots. But a dandelion, oh my goodness, that stuff can grow just about anywhere. It is not a particular plant. If the soil is of very poor quality, guess what? It can grow. Years ago, I had a woman tell me that when she was a little girl, she would literally walk up and down the side of the road looking in the ditches for dandelion greens, and maybe other greens too, so they could have salad or some greens for supper. I don't know about you. I would rather eat a dandelion salad than not have anything to eat for supper. What do you say about that? I was reading that there were massive floods on mainland China back in the summertime, and their rice crops, by and large, heavily destroyed, which means it makes sense why they made the largest purchase in the history of purchasing corn just recently to be shipped to China. Isn't that interesting? Maybe they want to keep their people from starving to death. Well, I vote for that. I don't want to go without food. Anyway, I've enjoyed being with you today.
All right. You too.
Thank you much. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.